Welcome back to Pandemic Fine. This is our second episode, and while I promised new guests, we are still just here with my husband John and myself. But don't worry, we really do have guests planned. It's going to happen one of these days, and you won't have to only listen to the two of us.
I thought I was back by popular demand.
Well, I don't know yet. Jury's still out. So last time we talked about sort of our survival on heavily relying on various forms of streaming media during pandemic. And now I think we're going to talk today a little bit about some of the deep dives that we found ourselves getting into during the pandemic that I don't think I would have had the time for during normal pre-COVID times. And maybe share some knowledge, drop some knowledge on you about some of these deep dives that we got into. So, question today for our Pandemic Fine listeners is, what rabbit holes have you gotten stuck in during the past 14 months? What have you been following? What random things have you suddenly become an expert on because you had the time to read up the entire Wikipedia page and maybe even go to the cited sources on the page and verify what they were telling you? John, did you want to share what you've been deep diving on lately?
I wouldn't say it's really a deep dive. I guess I've been more thinking about this past week or two about now that, you know, people are getting vaccinated, sort of on our way to returning to normal, you know, what is life going to be like? And I just sort of think I'm just so used to my family's faces at this point. They're the only ones where the bottom half of the face I've seen consistently that, what is this going to mean going forward? And I have a theory. I think there's going to be a complete reshuffle of, you know, the rankings of features of a person. I think that women are now going to find there's going to be a return of the jawline and a strong chin is going to be really sexy to women. Mm. Like, ooh. Now, that is a jawline and chin that can hold up a face mask. It's not going to be this, like, I mean, we've all seen it, the kind of, where the mask sort of caves in on itself.
I believe that's called a Dutch chin. No offense to any of our listeners of Dutch descent, but I think historically, Dutch chins tend to be rather, what's the word I'm looking for? Demure. A little more faded than the jawlines of other cultures.
You just sort of see the mask kind of getting sucked into the mouth while you're walking down the street. Like, it just, it collapses into itself like a dying star.
And you find that a real turnoff?
I think that, I mean, when I see people, I'm like, ooh, that's not a good look. So what are women thinking? Like, ooh, that guy's got a hot mask on.
Well, and I don't want to exclude any of our LGBTQ+ listeners, but it's possible that men are judging other men's mask wearing and women are judging other women's mask wearing.
Just to be clear. I just did.
Right. Yeah, you know, I do think that mask wearing has, you know, provided yet again another way America is divided. How far are you willing to go if you're going to wear the mask? Are you going to wear the mask? Or are you going to wear one of those, like, obnoxious masks that has your face on it so that people are like, hey, you got to put a mask on in here. And you're like, no, this is my mask. It's just a photograph of my nose and mouth. I think that for me, if I was single and dating, which I am absolutely not, I think that would be a bit of a turnoff. Like, oh, really? Just put a regular mask on. So we'll see how that goes as people begin to emerge. And I also think that, you know, what will it mean when you're wearing a mask these days? Now that if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask, it sort of reverses the whole system, right? All the people who were sort of afraid of COVID and trying to abide by all the COVID regulations have been wearing masks for the past year. And probably those people have gotten vaccinated by now. But now we don't have to wear the masks. It's the people who refuse to get vaccinated that can't wear the mask. Have to wear the mask. And so it's sort of a reversal of roles. I personally am of the mind that the CDC made that regulation to try to force people who were against the vaccination to, you know, maybe reconsider. But I do think it's going to be confusing, and who knows how we're going to know if we can trust a person without a mask on.
I just feel like I'm not ready to give up the mask. It's sort of like a, well, like a blankie to me. Like, I'm just too worried about other people judging me maskless.
That's how I felt at first. And then I was speaking with my friend Zach, who will definitely be a guest one of these days. And he was like, you know, at some point you have to start living. Like, you've done the things. You've stayed home. You've worn the mask. You've gotten the vaccine. It's time to start living. Go for a walk outside and take that mask off. And it feels very weird and liberating to go for a run or to just walk down the street and not have a mask on. I still feel like, you know, there's a meme going around that's like, the hottest summer accessory is going to be your mask around your elbow, just so people know, like, you're vaccinated, but you're willing to still wear the mask if needed. And I hear that a little bit. Like, I used to run with a mask around my neck, but not necessarily have it on unless I was near people.
So it's sort of the condom in the wallet.
Right, right.
It's there in case you need it.
You never know when sex or COVID might happen. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see who wears masks and who doesn't in the coming months of this new Biden era CDC mandate. So we will see. But in the short term, I'm still wearing masks to work every single day. I think John is too. So not much has really changed in the short term. Anyway, so what I wanted to talk about, while the mask mandate is obviously on our minds, I did want to talk about just this time that we've had to dive into random things we may not have had time to dive into. For me, during the pandemic, fine. I tried watching The Crown with John. What did you think of The Crown?
It's just, I mean, no offense to British people, it's just very dry.
I don't think that The Crown and the royal family is known for their sense of humor necessarily.
I don't, but they hold all emotion in is not great TV.
Well, I find it fascinating. I feel the complete opposite. So I got into The Crown. I had to watch it very slowly because I had to watch it only when John was not around. And I've just finished the most recent season, which is the one with Princess Diana. And I mean, I think a lot of Americans are fascinated by the royal family, but a lot of people in the UK feel very differently than we do. Like, I think for us, it's sort of this like weird, sort of preserved gossip castle, right? It's just like this place where people live and everyone else gossips about them. I don't think there's a lot of connection for Americans in terms of like, what is the power of the royals in the UK? And certainly legally, there isn't much power that they have. But they still make a lot of money on taxpayer dollars. They own a ton of land in the UK, and so they're very wealthy. And so what does that mean? What do we do with these very wealthy people who have no real purpose anymore in modern government? So that's what I find interesting about The Crown, is sort of seeing how that all has played out in the past 50 years or so. And I think that for me, the game has been like these deep dives on it. Like, wait, what really happened? Like, who really was doing what? Is this accurate? And the first person that I did a deep dive on was Princess Margaret. And if you have not watched The Crown, and if you have not looked her up on Wikipedia, and you want to do either of those things, you may want to tune out right now for a few minutes, because I'm going to give some spoilers. So Princess Margaret was Queen Elizabeth's sister. And so she sort of had this weird second in line, but not really placeholder position for a while. It was highly unlikely from the time of her birth that she would ever be Queen of England. It was more likely for Queen Elizabeth, but certainly still a surprise at the year in which Queen Elizabeth became the queen, because her father died rather unexpectedly. So this sort of sisterly relationship that they had in their youth was disintegrated by this shift in power. And nothing was more controversial, I think, than the change in that relationship, because what happened to Princess Margaret is that she sort of got pushed into a role she never wanted to play. But it wasn't really an official role. It was simply a role of being, you know, well-behaved royal, which is an unspoken rule that came with no perks, essentially. And her first order of business was to ask her sister, like, hey, can I have permission to marry a divorcee? And her sister said, ultimately, no, it's too controversial. We can't do it. And you may not marry him. And then forever after that, Princess Margaret, I don't think ever recovered from that. She dated, sort of frivolous men over the years. She was famously seen in the Bahamas, I think, canoodling with a much younger man. She never was really able to get it together and have her own life without coming out from under the shadow of Queen Elizabeth. So that was my first deep dive into the royals, was with Princess Margaret and sort of the heartbreaking way that she was hurt by the system of royalty. But also this idea that Queen Elizabeth has about duty, and she's so committed to that word. Her duty is to the people of Britain. And so in her mind, that means perfect decorum, perfect action, minimal intrusion into the public sphere in inappropriate ways, like through being in the newspapers and things like that. And I get all of that. That's definitely the old tradition, right? But as the monarchy began to change, and if you watch The Crown, especially this last season, and see, what does modernity look like with Charles and Diana? Like, how do you handle a situation like that? Is there room for handling that situation without simply saying, just deal with it, or, there is no option to get out of this marriage? So then my next deep dive, of course, was on Princess Diana. And I was just fascinated by her life and times, and just sort of heartbreaking to see how much she actually thought this marriage with Charles was always going to work. And it was also heartbreaking for Charles to see that this whole time he knew it was never going to work because he was in love with a different person. And it's truly no one's fault, right? I mean, she was supposed to marry Charles. She fell for Charles. So on that end, it worked, but Charles was in love with someone else, and he always had been, and now he's living with her and married, and so it finally did work out for him in the end. But for the years that Diana was married to Charles, it was just pure torture. But what I think sticks out the most in my deep dive about Diana was what she did with that position. Like, remember, these people basically don't have a job besides being wealthy landowners in Britain. I mean, that's really their only claim to fame. So they inherited all of this land, they inherit the taxation from that land, and for the vast majority of the members of the royal family, besides the Queen herself, their roles are sort of perfunctory, right? They just come to rubber stamp various aspects of the empire. So I think that was kind of that's sort of sad and frustrating, I'm sure, for many people in the UK who might feel like, why should they pay taxes to pay for these people's lifestyle when they really don't play a role in government or any services anymore in the same way that they used to? But then there's Princess Diana, and I just find it so hard to argue that Princess Diana should be lumped up with the rest of the royal family as a person who, just was doing whatever and was receiving all these tax dollars. And I have a friend in Scotland who I talk to a lot about this. And I mean, I think he's really tired of me talking to him about the crown because his answer is always like, who cares? Why does anyone care about the royal family? Who cares? And Princess Diana was the best of the worst. That doesn't make her anything special. That's hard for me to hear. I think that as an American, we really fantasize about the British family being this like exciting, real life fairy tale. And then to hear that Diana is simply just the best of the worst is a pretty harsh critique, I would say. So anyways, my most recent deep dive into Princess Diana was looking into her work with AIDS. It was just amazing to see what she did in the 80s, going to hospitals across the former British colonies and like holding AIDS patients, holding their hands, hugging them, picking up children, things that people around the world at the time were terrified to do with AIDS patients. And to see her doing that, I think was a big shift in people's mentality about it. And I think that's a great legacy to leave. So I don't think that they're all just, using their money to have a lavish lifestyle. I think there is some meaning in what they're doing, and Princess Diana exhibited that. And I think Prince Harry is about to exhibit that as well with his new mental health series with Oprah.
But he had the whole, what were they called? The games for like.
Yeah, the Commonwealth Games, where it was like for people with, I'm sort of a Paralympics kind of games. Yeah, so he did that.
My view is they're all rich as shit. It should be 100% charity. If I'm a UK resident and my tax dollars are going to your lifestyle, you better pay that forward. And so otherwise, you know, I don't really care about them emotionally. You're rich.
I guess.
You know what would be worse? Being dirt poor and being agreed. Told you can't marry someone you love.
Agreed. Agreed. Of course, that's true. And well, another reason why the deep dive on the royal family in the UK occurred for me was also in, I think it was in, when, March? When I agreed to a Paramount Plus subscription for the sole purpose of watching the Meghan Markle Oprah interview.
Oh my God, did we cancel that?
We haven't canceled it yet, but we're getting on it.
Paramount.
Remember, you know what? I think the interview was in February, and then we used Paramount Plus to watch March Madness. See, it was worth it.
That's how they get you.
Anyway, we watched the Meghan Markle interview, and I personally have, I have no personal ties to Meghan Markle. I don't care really one way or the other. If they love each other, good, great, have a great life. If they want to resign from the royal family, good, great, have a great life. I have no personal issue with that. But I thought that interview made her look really bad.
Yeah, like, listen, lady, you're a C-list actress. This is your 15 minutes.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just felt like a lot of the interview, you know, she would reveal things about the royal family. Like, oh, like people in the royal family were asking, like, what color do you think Archie will be? Which is a terrible thing to ask. And I agree with the intolerance of the royal family being absolutely unacceptable. But Oprah said, like, who told you that? And Meghan, for like so many of these questions, would say, oh, you know, Harry told me that. Well, Harry wasn't even on the interview yet when she was telling these claims. I'm like, where's Harry? He doesn't have a voice. He can't just say what he heard. It just seemed a little...
Let's name names.
All yeah, right? Name some really, names.
We're going to go this far. Let's go all the way.
So, yeah, that's
a little bit... But because I think that, you know, there's still a connection financially there.
You yes, I agree. Off. I think there's a reason Harry did not sit next to Meghan during most of that interview. And I think it's related to what, you know... lowered payments he is still receiving from the royal family, even if he's not receiving the full active membership money. There's a trust, and he's got plenty of money. So I think, but I do think that that's why he distanced himself from some of those comments that Meghan Markle made. But anyway, so that's my first deep dive. Any deep dives you want to share? I feel like you've been doing a lot of deep dives on Elon Musk.
I don't know. My deep dives are more on like shit I want to buy that I don't need. Like this week I received a package. It was for like a handheld vacuum that I pre-ordered like 4 months ago. I have no memory of doing this. I think I sleep shop a little bit. I wake up at 2 a.m, can't do anything, and I'm like, oh. What? I was drawn into this vacuum because I saw a video of it sucking up a bowling ball. Like, connected. And I was like, I gotta have that.
We have to have that. I've always wanted to suck up a bowling ball, and now we can. It's thrilling news. I do think that both of us have engaged in a lot of insomnia shopping, and it's hard to control. I don't know if that's really pandemic-related, but it's certainly related to lack of sleep, which we always struggle with. And
I sort of feel like we should have, like, you can put do not disturb on your phone. We should have that for credit cards.
Yeah, that's true. Don't let this credit card be operated between the hours of midnight and noon the next day. That really should be it. I personally just made a few impulse Amazon buys. You know, one of our pandemic purchases was a dog. We rescued a dog in January.
But who rescued who?
Who rescued who, indeed? And Luna.
Wait, can I just pause? I've seen so many like adult women wearing shirts this past week that just say dog mom. Is that a thing?
Of course it's a thing.
Do you want one?
No. I refuse to be a dog mom, and I refuse to refer to my dog as a fur baby.
Fur baby.
It's a dog. Give her the respect she deserves. She's a species. Anyway, Luna is a rescue, and she was rescued from a poodle rescue. And they said she was, you know, poodle and maybe a little terrier, but mostly poodle, and, you know, really wasn't going to shed that much. That has been a bit of a lie. She definitely sheds a lot more than we were told. And recently, during a moment of insomnia, I purchased a giant fur rake that you can use in your carpet.
I saw that, and I wanted to ask you about it. It looks like a squeegee, like at the gas station where you want to wash your windows.
Mm-hmm. Except it gets up all the dog hair in your rug.
Okay, I look forward to. I want to do like a before and after. Like, we'll let a week go by, not vacuum. That's not hard for us. And you just do half the room. I want to document it.
There we go. We'll do an experiment. I'll keep everybody posted on this, on the potential of this Furminator for carpeting, and see how it goes. Let's see, other deep dives that we've done during the pandemic. I think that I've been doing a lot of research of late on Elon Musk. I thought you had been doing it as well. Maybe you just already knew all of it. But I know what it is. I know what it is. My deep dive on Elon Musk was prompted, you know, earlier in the year when he, like, was encouraging people to buy
Bitcoin,
whatever, that, or that Tesla was going to let everybody buy cars via Bitcoin. So anyway, I just thought I'd research him. Who knew that he had 6 kids?
Yeah.
With his, first of all, he's been married 3 times? 4 times?
I think 3. Well,
3 times, but out of those 3, twice were to the same woman, then a second wife, and then now he's with Grimes, but Grimes is not married to him, right?
Right.
And with the wife that he married twice, they had triplets and twins. Yeah. And so they had 5 sons, one of whom died of SIDS, which was very sad. A little bit shocking, I guess.
If anybody can afford to raise, like, Duggar-level amount of kids.
It's same. Elon Musk. But I still, like, his other kids' names are, like, Jackson, Jacob, Christopher, whatever. And then he has this kid with Grimes, and that kid's name is XAE squared or something. So, I don't know. I tried to do a deep dive to figure out where that name came from. I really came up short. But I did really appreciate, though he's not ready for acting, his admission on Saturday Night Live that he has Asperger's. Because I think that that's probably true of a lot of really major tech achievers. I think that Asperger's lends itself well to sort of the narrow focus on computer engineering that really requires to be innovative. So,
I mean, the richest man in the world is on the spectrum.
Like, yeah, I think that's amazing, actually. but then we got to talk about Bill Gates. We can't talk about Elon Musk right now and not think about other billionaire.
We all knew that guy's a player.
Who knew that Bill Gates was a player? So here's the things that I deep dived on Bill Gates this week.
Have you seen his honeys?
First of all, he had a yearly vacation with an ex. It was an agreed upon thing. Yearly vacation with an ex.
Outer Banks, which, I mean,
but they would, like, buy, you know, reserve the whole island.
You're, like, the third richest guy in the world.
I'm just asking.
Maybe go to an island.
Can I go to an island once a year with an ex of my choosing?
Are you the third richest person on the planet? No.
Is that what it takes?
You give me that Gates money.
Well, ditto. You give me that Gates money and I'll let you have a little week with the ex every year. So I thought that was a lot. And, you know, after the first year that he had his little X week time, I feel like I would have said, okay, like, that's, I hope you enjoyed it. Let's try and refocus on ourselves now a little bit in this marriage. And then this week, to find out that he had stepped down from the board of directors of Microsoft because he was being investigated by the board for an inappropriate relationship with a different employee.
Yeah, I did see a headline about that. I mean, I don't know.
You seem taken aback.
I just, I don't know. He's got that big dick energy.
I think he does have that big dick energy. But how interesting. I mean, I think there was an article in the Post, actually. I just want everyone to know, like, I'm not crazy for obsessing about these people. Other people are obsessing about the Bill Gates divorce. It is big news. And the Washington Post had an article this week about how, like, if Bill and Melinda can't make it, how can any of us make it? Because, like, a lot of people think, like, you know, what's the number one thing couples fight about? Money. So if you have so much money, it could never matter. And you still can't make it.
No, I mean, I think there's a level of money where you just get bored, no matter what you're doing. You have to have sort of that drive to kind of keep going. When you've got like $100 billion, it doesn't matter what your great grandkids do; they're set for life. So maybe that's why you stray, and then more time on your hands. He wasn't really doing much, Microsoft.
Besides ending polio.
Okay, that's all foundation stuff. Like, it's not... He's not doing that.
Well, his money is. Anyway, it's just, you know, I'm still digesting the Gates breakup. It's a lot for me. It's similar to how I felt during the Tipper and Al separation. Who knew Al Gore and Tipper Gore were going to get divorced? That really took me off hand. I wasn't ready for that in whatever year that was, 2000-something. Am I the only person who cared about that?
Who else has been together a long, long time? I was just thinking about that.
Warren Buffett? Warren Buffett and his wife have been together forever, right?
I don't know.
Sounds like you need to be doing a deep dive on that. Well, ultimately, I think the pandemic gives you the time to realize that some of the things that are out there are worth investigating a little bit more detail about. Because I feel like if I had just watched The Crown but hadn't done some Googling and reading about the details of what transpired, I wouldn't have quite the same understanding as I do now. Same with the Bill and Melinda Gates separation. I think that my insomnia moments of purchasing things are really a great example of when you should be doing a deep dive, but instead are too tired and just decide, you know what, I am going to buy the bowling ball vacuum. Seems like a good investment.
I don't even own a bowling ball. I can't test their claims.
Well, we're going to have to find someone in the bowling ball to make sure that this is real. All right. Well, till next time. Next time, I think we're going to talk about food during the pandemic. So if you've been thinking about meal services, if you've been thinking about how much have I eaten out during the pandemic, how much have I cooked during the pandemic, all of that's going to be covered in the next episode. So look forward to that with a different guest, although John will be present. It will be with a different guest. I'm sorry. Did you feel like you should have been informed?
Okay. I have a lot to offer in the food.
Yeah, you will be there because you do have a lot to offer in the food department. That's actually very true. But until then, I hope everyone out there stays pandemic fine or better. And I hope that you will keep listening for our third episode. Bye.
Bye.